Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from Christ Jesus, our Savior and King. Our sermon this morning is taken from our gospel reading of Mark chapter 10 with these words. Peter began to say to him, "See, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brother or sister or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel, who will not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life." This is the word of our Lord. Well, what I shared with you are the words of the Apostle Peter as he sets the stage for us this morning in letting us know what it means to be a first century disciple. And what does that look like? And Peter cries out, "Lord, we have left everything for you." And it is Jesus who quickly lays the foundation for our Christian life, saying, "Yes, Peter, you did. And now I shall provide for you all that you need in this body and life and forevermore." You see, the lesson today is that it is Jesus in whom we trust. It is Jesus who even now shares with us great and glorious promises for our Christian life and forever. And it is with these words, in light of these fundamental Christian truths, that I would like you to look with me at our Old Testament reading from King Solomon. Because what you see there are some very powerful words that, of course, go hand in hand with the Gospel from Mark. But I love Ecclesiastes because, of course, we in the Lutheran Church know this book of the Bible also to be a lesson on life. And of course, it's from the wisest man who ever lived. Why would we not want to learn these words? And so I hope as you were listening to our Old Testament reading, you heard what goes right in perfect parallel with the revelation from St. Peter, where Peter told us, you know, in my Christian life, if I were to leave everything, to follow Jesus, it is King Solomon who would reply, "How is that any different from how you entered this world?" Notice there in verse 15 of our Old Testament reading, King Solomon wrote, "As he came from his mother's womb, so he shall go again, naked as he came, shall take nothing for his toil that he may carry away in his hand also, nothing." And so I implore you, do you see the wisdom in these words? How King Solomon lays out for us the course of our Christian life. Because take this wisdom to heart. As I came from my mother's womb, what did I have in my hand? I brought nothing, and I shall take nothing with me. And so I know, yes, that is a sobering thought. I admit it. But I dare say if you look at this underlying message of Ecclesiastes and realize, just take a moment, take a step back. What is Ecclesiastes? Ecclesiastes is a book of the Holy Scripture, divinely inspired without error, and it points us to Christ. Christ, who alone is our salvation, and so you and I, as Lutherans, in this month of the Reformation, only a week away, dare I say, as we look at these words together this morning, I think King Solomon has written for us a little book on joy. Now, I know, if you know Ecclesiastes, you would say, "Well, Pastor, wait, isn't this the guy that said, meaningless, meaningless, under the sun, meaningless?" Yeah, that's the same guy. But look at the last paragraph of this reading. Look at the last paragraph, starting with verse 18, because what you see there is Solomon getting to the point and showing us Christ in our Christian life. Because I will understand and sympathize with you that as we look at these words, it may not all make sense, but hopefully as we tie them in to the rest of our words of God today, it'll all become clear. So look there at verse 18. He says, I'll summarize, what I have seen to be good, this is the lesson, eat, drink, and find enjoyment in all the toil with which we toil under the sun. That is universal truth, right? Isn't that true? Isn't that where we get the saying from? That if you can go and find employment that you truly love, you will never have to work a day in your life, right? Haven't you been operating with that very thing in mind? I need to find employment where I can enjoy my toil under the sun, because that will not change. In other words, King Solomon is hitting us with real-world truths. You will toil under sun. That is how life goes. But because you have found joy in your skill, because you have found joy in the labor that God has given to you, it's not drudgery. In fact, when you find joy in the skills that God has placed in your hands and in your mind, what you will find in using those very skills is your niche in society that God has carved for you. Now, I think that's meaningful, and that's why I want to unpack that for you today. Imagine what that means, to find your niche in life that God has prepared, that God has set aside for you, because God has created you with a purpose. And this too is truth. But this is also the secret of what King Solomon is getting at. Eat, drink, find enjoyment in your toil. That's the secret to find joy in what you do. Because with the greatest wisdom that was ever given to a man, as God gave to King Solomon, what he realized is that what we are about as men and women in this world is that you and I are simply caretakers. We take care of all that God has given us, what we may grow on our land, what we may do at the shop, how we work with others. The truth in all this is that you and I daily care for the property that God has given us. We care for the very skills that God has given us. In fact, my home, my car, my clothes, my food, all of that actually doesn't even belong to me, but I take care of it because God has given me the responsibility to care for those things. Now, I know that sounds radical, but hear me out. This is true wisdom. Look at verse 19. He wrote, everyone to whom God has given wealth and possessions and the power to enjoy them, accept your lot. Rejoice in your toil, for this is the gift of God. And what I'm trying to bring out here for you is that God has a plan. I know what the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. And we know that God, who is infinitely wise, God who loves you, He prepares what is best for you. And as God in His infinite wisdom has taken your life and interwoven your life with those people around you and the people here at Emmanuel and those people here in Perry County and those people in Spencer County and so on, Southern Indiana and beyond, God has woven our lives together for a purpose. And everything we have the joy of using and putting to a good purpose, they're all a gift of God. Don't you and I practice this every day? As we sit down for our mealtime, do we not sit down with our family or with our kids and neighbors sometimes, and do we not fold our hands and pray? We pray for our meal. Why do we do that? Isn't your labor what brought that food to the table? No, it is God Himself, correct? And so what do we do when we pray? We say, thank you, Lord, for these gifts. But follow me. Because if God has given you this food, does He not also give you the employment? Does God not also bless you with the very wisdom to carry out your employment? And the skill to do your work. Does God not also give you the opportunity to sell your goods and your services? This is all by God's will and providence. And does not God provide for us a peaceful society in which we may carry out our commerce and our capitalism? Because is it not the Lord who could easily send judgment on every city across the nation, and anarchy would ensue? But it is God who cares for us every day. And of course, the devil tries to mess with God's creation. I mean, it's bad enough what the devil does to create riots here or there, or terrorism when it rears its ugly head. But it is God who answers this evil with His good and gracious will. You see, it is by the grace of God that we have government and a president who cares about our well-being. It is God's holy and infant wisdom who provides for us military and police to serve and protect. See, this is all in God's design. But here's my point. What property we care for, what clothing and food and money, what wealth that we manage, all are given to us as a gift from God for you and your family. And as St. Paul writes, I have learned how to be thankful with a very little. I have learned how to be thankful with much. And all this is from the hand of God. And so the truths that we want to think about as we meditate on this reading from Ecclesiastes, we want to remember God loves you. God wants you to enjoy the gifts that He has given you, to enjoy your work. Truly, He does. And lastly, we see this in verse 20. Look at verse 20. I bet you were hearing that and said, what? Verse 20. For He will not much remember the days of His life because God keeps Him occupied with joy in His heart. See, this is your Christian life. It is God who keeps you occupied with joy in your heart. My prayer for you is, I hope and pray, that as you are here in God's house, as you follow along with the words of Holy Scripture, as you hear the canticles of our Lutheran hymnody, I hope it is God who is giving you joy even now on this Sabbath day. Because it is God alone who grants us joy in life. You will find it nowhere else in this world. See, it ends up being that Ecclesiastes is this little book on joy with Christian wisdom. That when we realize the foundation of our entire life rests on our relationship with God, who is our Creator and Redeemer and sanctifier, we have so much more meaning, so much more peace in life, because God has created us for a purpose. And when the devil tries to get in there and destroy your relationship with God with his lies, we realize, you know, we don't have to be angry. We don't have to be lonely. We don't have to despair, because we are never alone. Because God holds your life in His hands, and they are capable hands. In fact, it is those hands with which God made you and formed you in the womb. But it is also God who is still with you and who provides for you a place to live and a place to go. And that is where we conclude our sermon with our next reading in Hebrews, looking for our Sabbath rest. I'll just hone in on one verse of Hebrews there, verse 9. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. See, that's what we're doing right now. You and I are resting from our week. We get to be here in God's house, to be in the presence of our Lord, who will care for us and give us rest every week. And it is here, truly, we don't have to despair because we are in God's presence. And so this is the truth I want you to take with you. That when you came in this morning to your Father's house, into this beautiful, sacred space, it is God who is present for you to bless you. It is God who right here strengthens your faith and gives you peace that the world cannot give. It is God who comforts you with friends and family who love you. And it is God who promises you life with Him and life in the age to come. Another rest. Doesn't Jesus give you that promise? Your Christian hope. Where Jesus says, come all you who are wearied and burdened, and I will give you rest. Right here, Jesus says, I will care for you, I promise. So that's what you and I do as Christians. We come into the presence of God, and we lay our sorrows and our burdens, our toil at the feet of Christ. And empty-handed, it is Jesus who leads us to our Father's kingdom. A place that Jesus has prepared for us out of great compassion and pure mercy. Jesus takes us by the hand and he leads us to the place prepared for us. Our rest in our Father's house, that all our needs shall be provided for. There are no worries or tears or hardship. But Jesus grants us comfort in his presence, not only like he does now, but in an infinite and glorious and beautiful way. See, the rest that Jesus promises you is not a rest just for 1 hour, but a rest for eternity. A rest with him in his Father's mansion, where he will love you and care for you perfectly. And that is your Christian joy. That is your hope. And my prayer for you, dear friends, as you take this Christian hope with you every day, meditate on this. Think about how God loves you in his infinite wisdom and graciously provides for you a place by his side forever and ever.